You guys can go ahead and have a seat. If you are in the kids, you can go ahead and get out of here. I'm just kidding. We love you, kids. Parents, seriously, if you are not comfortable with your kids leaving your side, keep them with you. I did children's ministry for 10 years. Kids crying in service is not going to bother me. I mean, you can't even plan this stuff right now, okay? How perfect was that? Well, guess what? I'm here. But I didn't come alone, okay? I brought my family with me as well. My family came with me as well. And our whole house is outside, actually. If you saw those U-Haul vans, that's our whole house just kind of sitting there. Not locked, by the way. Sean, did we lock those? We didn't, did we? Yeah, you saw my stuff. No one's going to take it. It's all right. It's all right. I just want to say real quick, everybody that came down to Ohio for a five-hour drive, packed up my family in a U-Haul, and then took another five-hour drive back up to Michigan. Thank you so much. Wow. My wife and I were just so stunned at the response that came to our house, and just that's what the church is. The church isn't about these four walls that we're standing in today. The church is about the people that showed up and gave up their Friday, Saturday to move us here. So thank you for that. I really do appreciate that. Oh, I got to address one more thing before I get started. I'm sorry. Someone asked me if I was wearing a marijuana leaf on my shirt. Actually, two people asked me that. No, your new pastor does not smoke pot, okay? I can assure you that. This is a Buckeye leaf. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is a national championship shirt. I don't know if you guys knew that. No? Okay, all right. We'll work on you. We'll work on you. We'll work on you. I still love you guys, too. And if you can assure me that you will beat us every year and we win the national championship, I'll take it. I will take it. All right, we're getting off track here. Let's focus here. So we are going to be jumping into a series called Rooted in Christ. That's where we're going to be this whole month. And so we're going to be looking at Paul's letters to the church in Colossae and understanding how we can root our lives in Christ. And so we're going to be starting in Colossians 1, 15 through 23. So if you got your Bibles, you can open it up there. If not, it'll be on the screen for you. Starting at verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by your evil thoughts and your actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in a physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to share together. And Lord, we're asking that your Spirit would be upon us today, that you would be the one that would be guiding this time, that your words would come through me, Lord, that it would not be my own words, but it would be you that would be revealed here today. Lord, I ask that you be with the kids that are in the kid zone right now. Lord, I pray that you would be upon them and the teachers, that you would teach in the ways of you. So thankful for a wonderful worship team that led us into service today. Lord, I want to send a special thanks to all those who have been praying for our family before we got here, for those that showed up yesterday to help us get here. Lord, we're just so thankful for the love and support that this church has shown us, your church has shown us, Lord. And what a reminder it was that the church is not about the walls or the music or anything else. It is about the people, your people, Lord. So I pray that you would be with us today. Guide us, lead us. And if I mess anything up, Lord, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
So this is actually one of the first messages that I had zero office hours the week before I was going to preach. Because I had stopped working in my last church about 2 weeks ago to pack everything. Can I tell you a little side note? Is that okay? Do you guys do that around here? Do you do side notes? Okay. So I told my wife, is she in here? No, she left with the kids. Okay. Don't tell her this, by the way. She said, why are you taking off 2 weeks early from your job? I was like, well, we got to pack everything. You know, we got a lot of stuff. And she's like, you don't need to do that. And so yesterday, as we were still packing stuff, as everyone showed up to move us, I just kind of looked at her and I said, was I right? And she's like, well, I was going to say something. I was like, you don't need to say anything. You don't need to say anything. So I had zero office hours, but I had worked ahead. So I'm not like I'm just showing up and just reading, okay? So I have worked on this message. But when I was working through this message, I wanted to kind of figure out a way that I could highlight what Paul was talking about here in this first section, because I titled it Hidden Greatness. And so I was looking for this story, and I stumbled upon this picture of this statue. Will you go ahead and put the statue up there? This is a pretty famous statue. This is the statue of David. I blurred it out, okay? It's my first weekend. I'm going to blur it out, all right? Maybe year 10, I won't have it blurred out, all right? So this is a very famous statue. Does anybody know what this statue is? What is it? It's David, right? Does anybody know who carved this statue? No? What is it? Michelangelo, that's right. So Michelangelo was the one that carved this statue. And show the next picture for me, please. This isn't the exact block, but this is what the statue starts out as. It's just a big hunk of marble. And so the funny story about the David is the artist that was commissioned to do it, and I didn't research their names. You didn't want to hear it, okay? So I'm not going to research their names. But the first artist that did it said the marble was flawed. I couldn't use it, and so he quit. Then they hired another artist, and he tried to do it, and he said the marble's flawed. I can't use this. And so the third artist was Michelangelo, and I'm going to paraphrase his quote here, but basically what he said was, I saw an angel in the marble, and I carved it until I released it. And so there's this hidden greatness that Michelangelo saw in this marble, and that's exactly what Paul was trying to show us in the church in Colossae, is that we're missing the mark on who Jesus is. Through false teachings and whatever it is that's going on, we're missing the mark of Jesus. And you see, through Christ, we see God's perfection and restoration. This is the true hidden greatness of Christ. It's not about being unseen. That's not what hidden greatness is. It's about being misunderstood. And I think what Paul was trying to teach them is that Jesus is being misunderstood in who he is and what he's all about. And so we are going to jump in to the verses here. And it's interesting that all the study I did on the scholars, this little section of the letter is an old Christian hymn. Not like an old Southern gospel hymn, okay? This is like a older than Paul hymn. And so Paul has put this in his letter, and he's added to it. But this is an old Christian hymn, and it shows who Jesus is. So let's jump into verse 15. He is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of all creation. So let's focus on that first part. He is the image of the invisible God. You see, when Jesus took on the embodiment He came in the flesh and bone. He didn't set aside his deity, right? He didn't set aside his godliness. He came and revealed his human nature, but also keeping his divine nature as well. This is what makes Jesus different than anyone else, is that we are human, we have human nature, but we're not divine. And if you've ever met any of your kids, they're not divine either, okay? I don't care what you say. Because I've met my own kids, and they're not divine. Basically because they come from me, so. Anyways, Jesus didn't set aside this to come to earth and be created. It works together. So if you want to see God, well, you look at Jesus. And I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you real quick. Because we were here December 8th, and you guys extended us the call. We accepted. We were driving home. We were super pumped. And then we said, we're not going to do anything until after Christmas. And then once Christmas was over, we started packing the house up, doing all that kind of stuff. And we've basically been doing that until yesterday. And we will continue today, and we're going to continue some more. So if I do some illustrations that are based on moving, I'm so sorry, because that's just kind of where my life is right now, is in the middle of moving. And so a couple weeks ago or last week, I don't know, all days are running together, my youngest son, who's one, who just started to walk, by the way, he does that like Frankenstein walk right now, where he can't bend his knees, but he's like super cute when he walks. I'm going to get sidetracked here. But he was walking, and there was a mirror on the ground. And so he walks up to this mirror, and he's like yelling, he's screaming, he's so excited. There's a baby in front of him. He's just so excited. He wants to talk to him, wants to see him. And here's the thing, and this is why I'm using the illustration, is when he sees the image, he thinks it's another person that's right there, right? And you know what he does? He moves aside, and he looks behind the mirror. And then he comes back around, and he's in the mirror, and he's like talking and hitting the mirror, and then he walks around again, and he looks behind the mirror, and there's no one there. You see, in Genesis, it says that we are made in the image of God, that we are. But what Paul is saying is he is the image. Jesus is the image. He's not made in the image. He's not kind of like the image. He is the image. We're the reflection in the mirror. Jesus is the one standing there. That's the difference there, is that we are a representation of Jesus. We should mirror Jesus, but we can never be Jesus because he is the image. Let's move a little bit further. Colossians 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Let's focus on verses 16 and 17. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. So we read a verse like that, and we see that Jesus was created both for him and by him, the heavens and the earth. And so what it's telling us is that Jesus was there before everything was created. Again, the deity of Jesus is shown here, that before everything was created and came to, Jesus was at the right hand of God. And everything was created for him and by him. And they use the term firstborn in here. And what's important about that, and we kind of lose the meaning of firstborn today in our culture, this was a really big deal in this culture. To be the firstborn meant that you were continuing the line of the family, that your family now had security because they could pass everything on because they had the firstborn son. If you didn't have a son, you were panicked because you didn't know if you had security in your family. And the firstborn would often get a double portion of the inheritance. So this was a really, really big deal. And so what Paul was telling us is that Jesus is the firstborn of everything. So before everything, Jesus holds this place of power and prominence over everything else. And then verse 18 has this weird part where it says, he's the firstborn from the dead. And so we read something like that, and we'll get to that in a little second. But it says, the firstborn from the dead. Do you guys ever read a verse like that, and you're like, what in the world? That seems so, firstborn, dead. Okay, we'll get to it. So our second point is this. If Christ can hold the universe together, he can hold your life together as well. So everything was created by him and for him on the earth and all the created everything. If he can hold all of that together, why do we think he can't hold our lives together? Why do we struggle with giving him control of our lives? Why do we have trouble submitting our lives and giving him everything in our lives? Because we read verses like this, and Paul is telling us that he's the creator of everything. He controls everything, but I'm going to hold on to this. This is mine. When we were driving December 8th, we left here, and we were driving home, and my wife and I were kind of looking at each other, and we was like, okay, this is really happening. And it didn't feel real at that point. I mean, this was like a long time ago. December 8th feels like 2 years ago at this point for the amount of packing and stacking I did. But as we got closer to today, it started to get more and more and more real. And this was probably my last week at my last church, maybe my last day, a couple days before. But I'm sitting there with my pastor, and we're having this conversation, and he made the comment. He's like, I don't even know how to talk to you anymore. I'm like, well, you just talk. I'm not dying. You told me I could do this, okay? You helped me look for a job. But he's kind of sitting there, and he's just like, how are you doing? And I just had this moment where I said, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle this responsibility. I've always been in the background, Pastor. But now I'm going to be leading a congregation, and I don't know if I can do this. And he said, did you give it to God? And I was like, why are you always so right? But that's the truth of it. I was having this moment where I was struggling with the promise that God made. And I wasn't able to trust him. The promise was there, but I wasn't trusting in Jesus. And so I had this real moment where I didn't want to give it to him. I wanted to hold on to it. I wanted to hold on to that fear, that anxiety, that lack of trust, because it felt good, right? I mean, that's when we hold on to this, it feels good to kind of hold on, like I can control this. But we just read that Jesus controls everything. He's supreme over everything. Yet we're unwilling to relinquish that to him. A little bit further. Ooh, did I just jump up? There we go. Was that me? No, it was you. All right, I'm watching you, Brent. All right. Verse 19. Let's jump back to verse 18. Can we go back to 18? Thank you. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or in things in heaven, And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So there's a lot going on there. So we're jumping back to that firstborn of the dead. Every single person here on earth, I hate to break it to you, and I don't want to sound crude or crash, but we're all going to die at some point. That's the way it works. Our human nature, our bodies will break down at some point and we will die. But there is only one person who has ever defeated death, and his name is Jesus Christ. That is why he is the firstborn of the dead. Right? Lazarus beat death once. Couldn't beat it a second time, could he? So that's why he is the firstborn of the dead. And we are reconciled through the blood of Jesus. The cross restores what was broken. And so we have Jesus here who's standing in this divide between the heavenly and the earthly. The one who is God and is human. He's not less of either one. He is both equal. And so you have Jesus standing in this divide, making this connection that the blood of the cross is what reconciles us to the heavenly. And it's only possible, not because Jesus was human, not because Jesus was God, but because he was both. Nobody had ever done that before. You see, Jesus reveals the image. Jesus sustains us as the creator. And Jesus restores us as the reconciler. And so what Paul is showing the church and what he's trying to give to us today, I believe, is that he is highlighting how important the deity and the humanness of Jesus is important. That both of those play together. And when those are together, he can restore and reconcile you. But it's only through the blood on the cross that this happens. Because Jesus was the one willing to stand in between the heavenly and the earthly. He was willing to stand there and take the punishment on the cross. And so when life gets busy or hectic or whatever it is that's going on in our lives, we're so easily tempted to just take everything and hold on to it. And so the question I want to ask today is, what haven't you given to Christ? And I know when a question like that is posed, and I know it's true because I do the same thing. When someone asks me, what haven't you given to Christ? Immediately something pops in my head. It's not like we sit there and go, man, I just don't know what kind of sins I do. It's funny to laugh at, right? The things pop in our head immediately. But those are often the things that first pop in our head are the things that we want to hold on to because these are mine. Jesus, you can have everything else but this. I'm going to hold on to this for a while. I'm going to hold on to this guilt for a little bit. I'm going to hold on to this shame for a little bit. Yeah, I'll reconcile it in a little bit. But for right now, it feels good to just kind of hold on to this. I kind of like sitting in the pain. What haven't you given to Jesus? Remember, he created everything by him and for him. He has the cosmos. Why couldn't he sustain our lives as well? And so we're going to get ready to get into a moment of communion. And then after communion, we're going to be in a song. And so during that time, my challenge to you is, what are you keeping from Jesus? And what are you going to give him today? Even if it's just a small step, What are you willing to give to him today to say, Lord, I know that you are supreme over all of creation, and today I'm going to give you my guilt. Today I'm going to give you my pain. Today I'm going to give you my addiction. Lord, I can't do this on my own. And so during that time of communion and worship, have a conversation with the Lord. Let him work in your heart. And if you feel so led, come up to the altar. I'll pray with you as well. But what are we going to give up today to the reconciler, to the one who reveals the image, the one who is the image of God? So for communion, they changed the seating on me, by the way. And Leslie told me before service, because I didn't notice. I'm going to get to my communion notes here, guys. And so when we take communion, we're going to come up the center aisle. I'm going to move the table. Actually, can we have a couple board members move the table while I kind of explain communion and what we're doing? That way it's in the middle. I'm going to move this out of the way too. There we go. So you guys will come up the middle and then you'll exit out the back there. We'll start in the back and then we'll work our way forward. But here at Dayton, we practice what we call open communion, which means you don't have to be a member here to partake in communion. We only ask that you are in right relationship with God. You who are walking in fellowship with God and are in love and harmony with your neighbor, and you who truly do and earnestly repent of your sin and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from this time in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and meekly make your humble confession to Almighty God. If that is you today, then we would ask that you partake in communion. So we're going to go ahead and start in the back. So the back row, you can cut it. So once you get back to your back row, go ahead. So we had talked a lot about that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And I love what the Gospel of John says in verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. Jesus didn't forget about you. He didn't forget about your pain and your struggle. Oftentimes when we see trouble or problems, we want to run away, but God ran to you. He didn't run from you. So much so he took on flesh to deal with it. So much so that he was willing to go to the cross and his body was broken. And so when we step into communion, we remember that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Take this in remembrance of him. Near the end of this section, Paul writes this, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness of God to dwell in him, and through him, being Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross." He goes on to say, "Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death." And listen to this last part. "In order to present you before him holy and blameless." Church, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it by holding on to everything. We have to freely give it to God. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He was willing to step into whatever it is that you have to die on the cross. And so we take the blood in remembrance of all that Christ did on the cross. Father, what an amazing, radical story that your Son would take on flesh for us. That He was willing to go to the cross for us. That He was willing to step into all of our pain and our struggle for us. What did we do to deserve this, Lord? Nothing. We have done absolutely nothing to earn or deserve your grace. Yet you freely give it to us. And what a gift it is, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that during this time of worship, that your people would hear your voice. Whatever it is that is in their life, that they would be willing to give that today to you. Trusting that you are the sustainer of life. You are sustainer of the cosmos. That you can handle and walk in and step into our problems and our pain and our struggle and our death. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We're not trusting in the words, but we are trusting in your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As they play the psalm, would you go ahead and stand with us? Just use this as a time of reconciliation and thinking about everything that's going on and what you're willing to give away today. And if you need some time of prayer, the altar is open. Once the song is finished, I'll come back up and close us. Church, don't ever forget that God is willing to step into your life, into your problems and your pain. That we serve a God that is bigger than anything we ever could ask or imagine. And so would you recite the Lord's Prayer with me as we head out today? Heavenly Father, I thought you guys were going to do it with me. You guys start. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. We'll see you next week.